Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Kiravu. Thank you for joining me this morning. Wish I could be mentioning a Milwaukee Brewers NLDS victory after last night. But looks like the Brewers are going to have to wait another day. Going to have to play another game tonight in order to move on. Game 4 of the NLDS tonight at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. Oh well. They only have to win one out of the next two. If they happen to lose tonight, then they get a home game on Friday. So all is not lost with the Milwaukee Brewers. But we're talking about the Green Bay Packers this morning. Thank you for joining us. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will show up on our live blog. Or just feel free to comment in our Cover It Live blog and your comments will be approved. So, in the world of the Green Bay Packers, I got a couple interesting little tidbits today. I got some polls coming up a little bit later. But probably over the last 24 hours, the most interesting things might have been the things going on outside the organization. I titled today's episode, Outside the Lines. Our top story today, if you scroll up to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. And if you check that out, top story today is about suspended defensive lineman Johnny Jolly being denied bond. Surprise, surprise, right? Jolly, of course, was arrested this past Saturday in his native Houston, where he is basically on probation, more or less, and got arrested, suspected possession of codeine, and awaiting his next trial, which will happen on Tuesday. And wow, I wouldn't like to be in Johnny Jolly's shoes. I mean, he's avoided the hammer. You know, he's avoided any big time jail time or prison time or whatever up till this point. But he's basically breaking terms of his probation, and you know, there's going to be some heavy jail time, I think, coming up for him. But after what could be a lengthy court process, we'll say. Anyhow, another big story that happened yesterday. Brett Favre in the media talking about Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Brett Favre talked about many things in a radio interview yesterday, but one of the things he addressed was Aaron Rodgers, saying how the only thing that surprised him about Rodgers was that he didn't win the Super Bowl earlier. And thought he landed on a very good, experienced team. Which was kind of, if you read into it, a little bit of a backhanded compliment. I don't know about... I don't know what to read into it, to tell you the truth. But anyhow, Brett Favre making an appearance in the media. Comment from Packer Ken on our live blog, no Brett Favre, more purple drank. People just can't stand to listen to Brett Favre. Yeah, that backhanded compliment yesterday probably didn't help things, although he did have good things to say also about Aaron Rodgers. Just kind of set him in a roundabout way. So that was yesterday. Tuesdays are always interesting in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Just because it's the one day of the week where there's like no news on the Packers. I suppose you could probably count Saturdays in that as well. The day before games are kind of a little bit, you know, news-free. But everybody's preparing for the upcoming game on Saturdays. On Tuesday, there's no practice, so there's There's no reports on injuries, or there's no interviews with players, things like that. So things just kind of come out of nowhere sometimes and blindside you. And like yesterday, top stories, Johnny Jolly and Brett Favre, two players who aren't even with the Packers right now. Anyway, if we look at today's Packers Daily Links, a couple other stories today. Little minor ones. The agent for wide receiver Jordy Nelson said he's pleased with his client's new contract. Reporter Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel interviewed Jordy Nelson's agent, Van McElroy. Here's what he had to say, quote, "I think it's a testament to the fact that when you do it right as a player, Green Bay will eventually take care of you. Jordy's the type of kid that pours his heart and puts in the work every day. He puts his teammates and coaches first. At the end of the day, that's what paid off for him. Obviously, his play is the biggest part of this thing, but they see that this guy is a team player and they took care of him." So Jordy Nelson getting his new contract, of course, first reported on Sunday evening after the Packers won. And now kind of finding out that he's the 27th highest-paid wide receiver in the entire NFL. What do you think about that? Too high? Too low? I suppose most people, if anything, would say it's too low. 27th? I mean, that's not real high. Of course, he is the number two wide receiver for the Packers. If you were to think every team would have a number one wide receiver, and not all do, but, you know, the number one wide receiver, whether they deserve to be or not, you know, that would be 32 wide receivers, one for each team. So to think he could be, like, you know, the highest paid or the best wide receiver on one team, I suppose that's understandable. But he's being paid as the 27th, and he's the number two man in Green Bay. Or is he? If you want to share your thoughts on the Packers wide receivers or any other topic, feel free to call into the show. The number is 646-797-2909. And I got a couple polls here that I want to share with everybody and see their thoughts on the Packers wide receivers and who you think are the best wide receivers just on this team, on the Green Bay Packers, and who you think the best is, the second best is, etc., etc. And anyhow, I'll just throw this first poll out there. Who is the best wide receiver on the Packers? And just pick one. And we're going to do this 5 times, actually. And we'll see where the votes lie. See who's the best, who's the second best, who's the third best, and on down the line. And through one round of voting here, we've got Greg Jennings receiving 100% of the vote. And that's not really surprising, is it? Greg Jennings being the number one wide receiver on the Packers. He seems to have earned that. Becoming a Pro Bowler for the first time last year. And just, you know, basically setting the world on fire through 4 games this season. How in tune has Aaron Rodgers been with his wide receivers this year? It's like there's this sixth sense. They've practiced together so much. Maybe not Randall Cobb so much with Aaron Rodgers, but it's amazing. It's just they know what's going on. Whether it's the slants, the back shoulder throws, the run pass options where Aaron Rodgers chooses to pass. I mean, it's just they know what's going on. They can read each other's minds, and well, I mean that's why the Packers are the number one scoring team in the NFL, putting up more points than anybody else. John Ray, we're asking, can we put Finley on that poll, playing wide a ton so far this season? Certainly. I mean, I'm not going to add JerMichael Finley to the poll because we're just talking about guys, I guess, who were listing their position as wide receivers. But, I mean, no doubt about it. Add him to the group of prolific wide receivers or, you know, receiving options Aaron Rodgers has. Okay, so we're pretty much in agreement here that Greg Jennings is the number one wide receiver on the Packers. So let's take a look at wide receiver number two. Whoever you think is the second best wide receiver on the team, feel free to just throw out a vote, and we'll see what happens here. And here we go. The second best wide receiver, Jordy Nelson, getting 86% of the vote so far. It's amazing how fast these poll results come in here, huh? 88% now. So it's appearing as if Jordy Nelson is eclipsing, if he hasn't eclipsed already, Donald Driver for the third best wide receiver on the team. Would you have guessed that coming into the season? Kind of interesting. I mean, Jordy Nelson played at a very high level the end of last season. You know, kind of that stretch where they won the last six games, the final two games of the regular season, plus the playoffs, and especially the playoffs, and especially the Super Bowl, in which he had 9 catches for 140 yards. And that's continued into this season. But before the season started, would you have guessed Jordy Nelson was the second best wide receiver on the team? Perhaps. I think a lot of people still would have given the nod to Donald Driver. But it's become clear, I think, that, you know, if he hasn't already, very shortly, Jordy Nelson is becoming the number two wide out on the team, the second best. You know, he's just younger, faster than Donald Driver. And not to diminish what Donald Driver's done. I mean, he's certainly still got it. I mean, he can play in the NFL. Had a touchdown on Sunday against the Broncos. Came back from injury, showing his resiliency. My family, when I watch the games, they like to say, Donald Driver is made entirely of ligament. That's why he doesn't get injured. That's why he pops up from some vicious hits. Here we go, though. How about the third best wide receiver on the team? Who do you think is the number three wideout for the Packers? And is it Jordy Nelson? Is it Donald Driver? Is it Randall Cobb? Is it James Jones? So, here we go. Letting the votes come in. And you know, it's hard to say. Do you go with the experience here of a Donald Driver? Or if you thought before that Jordy Nelson wasn't number two, is he the number three? Or is it an up-and-comer like Randall Cobb, who's the number three wideout on the team? And wow, the third best wide receiver on the Packers, the votes are spread out quite a bit. Donald Driver getting the majority of the votes, but majority being only 45%. So not exactly an overwhelming majority. Number two, or who's getting the second most votes, is James Jones with 27%. Randall Cobb getting 9%. And I'm not sure exactly how this happened. How is Greg Jennings getting 18% of the vote as the third best wide receiver when he got 100% of the vote on the first one? How is that happening? Somebody just pressed the mishit their vote. Oh, I see. Somebody, Nunabaugh, is fessing up that he mishit his vote. No problem. No big deal. So we've got Donald Driver, I guess, as the third best. And wow, here we go. It's basically, if we're just going strictly on the results of this poll, we've got Greg Jennings 1, Jordy Nelson 2, Donald Driver 3, and now coming down to Randall Cobb and James Jones for the number 4 wide receiver. Or, I mean, feel free to vote for anybody else if your opinions differ. I'll throw this poll up. Who do you think is the 4th best wide receiver on the team? Is it Randall Cobb or James Jones, where I assume most of the votes will be going? And the early leader in the clubhouse is James Jones, getting 75%. And you know, interesting, I really thought here's where it would get tough, or I thought it would be closer. Randall Cobb getting 22%, Donald Driver getting 11%. You know, I thought maybe Randall Cobb might get more votes here just because of how well he's played so far. But, I mean, it's certainly early. We're going basically on 4 regular season games worth of film that we've seen on Randall Cobb, if you will, including to a little bit of preseason and training camp as well. And, Randall Cobb has looked explosive so far. He had that 60-plus yard pass just this past Sunday against the Denver Broncos. And how good did he look on that? I mean, he just gets the ball in his hands and he is off like a shot. And I mean, that's not to mention what he provides on special teams as a return specialist, kick returns, punt returns. Week 1 of the season, tying an NFL record with a 108-yard kick return. So I thought perhaps that Randall Cobb might get a little more votes as the number 4 wide receiver, but people sticking with James Jones, the veteran, although he's had some issues with his drops, he certainly has helped the team over the years as well, no doubt about it, catching several touchdown passes down the stretch last year throughout the playoffs, and that, you know, kind of 6-game stretch as we talked about, the final 2 regular season games plus the 4 playoff games. Robert Greenfield asks, has Jones dropped any this year so far? And, there was that interception just this past game thrown from Aaron Rodgers that, I think you have to actually blame Aaron Rodgers on that throw. He was kind of being pressured. He was kind of running outside the pocket, threw it on the run, and threw it high to James Jones. Jones actually had to jump to get his hands, you know, on the ball at its peak. And he couldn't hang on to it. But, it hit James Jones' hands, but I think you actually have to put that one on Aaron Rodgers. You know, kind of a tipped ball interception that happened. And, it was unfortunate. Feel especially bad for Aaron Rodgers, a guy who, you know, never really throws interceptions. And, you know, it happens on a tip pass, really. So, you know, comment here from Nikolai J., Rodgers himself said that the INT was his fault, thrown too hard, and it probably was. You know, he was on the run, and he probably tried to overcompensate by rifling it to Jones. Anyhow, same thing kind of happened, actually, to Matt Flynn. Another interception on a tipped ball to Randall Cobb, actually, and a ball thrown off the mark as well. And Phil Dawson here, host of the Sports Talk radio show in Madison, says, we all agree that Cobb has more talent, though, right? And we all believe he'll take over as the 4th best and eventually the 3rd. I think in time, certainly, Randall Cobb will certainly in time take over that role, take over that throne. The pass will be torched. Any other metaphors we can throw in there as well? But let's find out here. Who's the number five wide receiver on the team? I'm assuming right now Randall Cobb, just based upon prior votes, will get most of the votes here in our interactive poll we're posting on our live blog of Railbird Central. If you happen to be listening to the podcast version of this show, we air the live show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 8:30 to 9 o'clock a.m. here on CheeseheadTV.com. And we podcast every episode as well, and thank you for listening in either form. But the fifth best wide receiver, Randall Cobb, getting 80% of the votes, James Jones getting 20, and nobody getting any other votes. So Robert Greenfield saying Cobb would probably be a number two on a lot of other teams, which is scary. That is scary. DJ Protege saying, I think Jones has hit his ceiling. That's a good question. Has James Jones hit his ceiling? Has he peaked? Are we not going to see any better from James Jones? Or here's another question. Is it just because of the depth on the Packers that James Jones is not going to improve? Just because guys like Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, and I mean, if you count the tight ends, JerMichael Finley taking away passes, could it be because of that that it appears as maybe he's hit his peak, hit his ceiling? Interesting questions. I mean, we could debate about these things till the cows come home. I mean, where would Phil Dawson says hit his ceiling in Green Bay? I mean, where would James Jones be on another team in the NFL? Could he be a number two? Could he even be a number one? No team wanted him in free agency. So apparently other teams don't feel, or at least teams outside the Minnesota Vikings, who Jones was actually talking to, but, you know, teams didn't want James Jones in free agency, so kind of says something a little bit there. You know, he could have signed with almost any team in the NFL if he was probably willing to take, you know, less money than he's earning with the Packers. I'm assuming, but again, maybe I shouldn't assume. We all know what happens when you do that. So, you know, we talk about all these threats, and you know, we're leaving out JerMichael Finley out of the debate here, and it'd be interesting to see. And I kind of prepared all these polls ahead of time, but you know, just interesting and informal poll here. If you want to leave your comments on the live blog, or feel free to call into the show, who would you say is the best threat on the team, just between Jennings and Finley? You know, is it, who do you think is the better receiving option for Aaron Rodgers? JerMichael Finley or Greg Jennings? We saw this past week on Sunday that Finley was kind of used as a decoy. The Broncos paid a lot of attention to him. You know, decoy out of, you know, not maybe not so much by design, but just, you know, from the Packers taking what the Broncos give them. You know, they're going to, you know, put or devote extra men to defending JerMichael Finley, and that just opened things up for Greg Jennings on the slants and back shoulder throws to the other wide receivers, et cetera, et cetera. Down the seam, we saw Greg Jennings hit down the seam a couple times. And the thoughts rolling in. Packer Ken giving his hierarchy as Jennings, Finley, Nelson, Driver. Jamie Jors commenting, I feel like Jennings can have more moves. DJ Protege in our live blog saying Finley has the best hands on the team. Finley is the best, or Jennings is the best route runner by far. It's just, again, as I said before, this is why the Packers have the number one scoring offense in the NFL. And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, you know, they have issues elsewhere on the team. We know they have issues on the defensive side of the ball. And we know they don't give a whole ton of attention to the running game, although they certainly give it a little bit of, trying to keep defenses honest. But I mean, it's all about the points, right? You have to outscore your opponent in football. That's primary goal number one. If you want to win a game, you have to outscore them. And everything they do, I think, as an organization and people they choose to, make the team, the personnel, and what they try to do with Aaron Rodgers, it's all geared toward putting points on the board. You know, and that's why they have such a deep group of wide receivers, why they draft wide receivers high, receiving options, giving Aaron Rodgers as many threats, as many weapons as possible. And that's why they have Aaron Rodgers drop back and throw so often, because that's how you put points on the board. The Packers are 4-0 for a reason. I mean, they can just outscore teams, even if the defense gives up some. The Packers can outscore their opponents, and that's what it's all about. That's why they're 4-0. And, here they come on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, a team that's 2-2. And a team that's on the rise, or at least you thought that coming into the year. A kind of surprising 2-2, but here's the team with Roddy White and Julio Jones, a rookie. Boy, did the Falcons give up a lot for Julio Jones in the draft this past year. Would they have to trade like 5 draft choices, something like that, to get him? Was that the right call by Atlanta? To give up so much? TJ Protege comments on the live blog. Rodgers in the dome, salivating. Aaron Rodgers talked so much last year about how he likes to play in domes. And the results speak for themselves. Aaron Rodgers did so well, not only in Atlanta, where they had to win the divisional game against the Falcons on the road. They play in the dome and for the Super Bowl. And Rodgers just seems to play well. God, you remember the game against the Falcons last year in the playoffs? It wasn't even close. The Packers just beat them. What was the final score last year? Beat them like 30-some points, didn't they? I forget the final score off the top of my head, but I mean, It was a bloodletting. Have the Falcons improved that much? Is Julio Jones going to make that much of a difference? Is Ray Edwards opposite John Abraham going to make that much of a difference? We'll see come Sunday. Falcons get the home field advantage where they won in the regular season last year. Packers had to go to Atlanta a lot. They played there in the regular season last year, played there in the playoffs, and now going there in the regular season again this year. 3 trips to Atlanta in a rather short time frame, short amount of time. DJ Protege saying, need to be able to get pressure on Ryan. Matt Ryan, Matty Ice. Packers pass rush hasn't exactly been spectacular this year. Not been the worst either. I think some people might say that the Packers getting some of their sacks in garbage time, when the game's already out of reach. Not that all of them have been that way, but a few perhaps. And so, anyway, good luck to the Green Bay Packers this Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. And thank you, everybody, for joining us here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com on Wednesday. We will be back this upcoming Friday morning, Railbird Central, on Friday morning at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, Lambeau Time. Make sure to join us then, and join us as always throughout the week on Cheesehead TV, on the blog, Packer Transplants. Make sure to tune into that tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time here on Cheesehead TV, and make sure to join us back on Sunday for the live blog. So many things we got to plug here. Cheesehead Radio tomorrow night as well. So make sure to join all these things here at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Carrivu. Thanks for joining us today, folks. And we will see you later. Go Pack, go.